Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, he's got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the game. And you know, we talk about the latest going, more so than any other, and our mountain west matters. Well, will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a thought, we're German and love the master, and kiss the cream, the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
I'd like to hope everybody does love this podcast here. I'm Jeremy Moss, the MWC Connection podcast, MWCConnection.com. Mountainless Connection, we'll be joined momentarily by Mr. Chris Hondris, who will be discussing his off-season article about, hey, what should we do this off-season? And we'll have some fun stuff about that. But this particular show this evening, thanks to the folks at Blog Talk Radio. This show is brought to you by Audible.com. We'll get to some more details on that, but hey, in the meantime, go to audibletrial.com/MountainWest. But we'll mention a few books to listen to later. That's something you can do in the offseason. But we bring in our man, Greek Podger on Twitter, Chris Hondris. Hey, what's going on tonight, man?
Not too much. I got, you know, slight raspy throat, but I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, this time you're the one who's late, not me.
Yeah, the first time ever.
Yes, ever.
But here's a question.
What's that?
Here's a question. So if I'm late, how am I supposed to log on since you're the quote-unquote host of the Blog Talk Radio?
You could actually call in. You'd just be on hold until somebody pick you up.
Right. No, that's what I meant.
Our last show went about a minute before I hopped on the talk, but here's another off-season show, kind of a hodgepodge. But this show has been delayed about 4 days this week, but no worries. We're here now, and I'm kind of glad it was delayed because there's some more news. That's some big news to talk about in the world of college football.
There's a little bit of news.
Playoff news.
Some playoff news. Of course, playoff news because they already found a way to screw up playoffs before they've even started. So good job, guys.
Yeah. Let's just start with that. For those who are living in the rock, there's a 4-team playoff upcoming next year, the college football season. Now we're not some. We understand Mountain West, Conference USA, MAC, Sun Belt. Odds of them getting in are slim because in the past BCS era, there was what, maybe two teams that had a chance. The 08 Utah team would have been close.
Guys.
Yeah, a couple small guys have been close. TCU and the Rose Bowl year probably would have got in. Maybe a Boise State team would have been close. Utah and 08, but that's about it. But here's the thing. There's a 13-team committee member comprised of the most famous person, Condoleezza Rice. You got a couple ADs, former ADs and Tom Osborne. Got an Air Force retired cadet. I don't want to mess up his rank, but high-ranking official, former Air Force guy in there. And you got Brett Bielema, his former AD at Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez. But here's the deal. They had their meeting this weekend. Jeff Long's the chairman. And well, they came out with this nice blast of saying, we will look at the best team, not necessarily the most deserving team. When you saw that, what did you first think of that comment?
Everybody except for Ohio State, Oregon, Alabama, and Florida State are screwed.
SEC, the chance. Team number two. Because here's my first thought, right? I'm like, I get what he's trying to say. They want the best teams in there. So strength of schedule is going to be a part of it, but there's no computer formula to actually pick. They'll have to maybe they should email Bill Connolly. That'd be a good guy to get involved, but probably not. Just some stat stuff. Yeah, I get that. However, if you read into it even further, it seems like let me simplify it before we kind of go off randomness, but everybody remembers Oregon Stanford in 2012, right? Oregon ranked higher, did not win the Pac-12, got to a BCS bowl game, as did Stanford, who won the Pac-12. That's the big debate. If there's a 14 playoff, who's the best team out of that group? Probably Oregon, but who's the most deserving? Stanford, who won the Pac-12, also had just one loss, though.
No, exactly.
That's the issue here.
That's actually not the most concerning thing, I think.
The most concerning thing I think is the other one.
The committee rankings are how they're going to determine the rankings.
So that's confusing. Yeah.
You know, I think we all figured that it's not going to be the four best teams. It's going to be the four quote-unquote most deserving teams. But
No, it's not. I don't think it is.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I think in terms of the comments, in terms of the selection committee. Do you really trust this committee to make
– No, this is already worse than the BCS already. For the selection process.
Absolutely. I'm about to make it worse. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So hear me out. So here's the playoff committee. Here's how they're going to rank teams every week. Okay.
Wait, real quick. Everybody take out your pen and paper. No joke. Pause the recording and you can pause and listen a second. Take detailed notes because this will be on the test later on, which everybody will fail. Even if open book,
I've given organic chemistry tests that are easier than the way they determine this stuff.
Yeah. So proceed with the how they're going to rank their top 25, which will come out the last six weeks of the season.
Yeah. So, okay. So you wrote this article, but I'm just going to repeat it because it's a lot of fun to repeat. So number one, are you ready, kids? Number one. Each member of the committee will list his or her top 25 teams of the country. This is a quote-unquote simple list of 25 teams with no specific order to determine the highest-ranked team. So this is just a list of 25 top teams of the country.
Yeah, no order. Yeah.
Schools must appear on at least three lists in order to be given further consideration. Okay, that's fairly straightforward, right?
Yeah.
So everybody, you know, how many people are on the playoff committee?
What are you going to have, 22 teams left after this, most likely? 20 teams?
No, you're going to have 25 teams.
No, what I'm saying, schools to be considered, you're going to whittle off maybe five teams.
Yeah. So you're probably going to have anywhere from 15 to 20 teams.
I highly doubt
there's going to be 22. You're going to say from 21 to 25, there's going to be five teams that just don't get ranked in each playoff committee.
Let me clarify one more thing with this. They're going to, from my understanding, these rankings each week, they're going to whittle it down to playoff seeding every week. This is not the end of the season rankings. This is every week when they start doing rankings. And they're treating each week like here's the playoff.
I'm not sure anybody watches that much college football. I mean, even those of us who spend 12 hours on a Saturday watching college football, I don't think we spend as much college football as these people are supposed to be watching in order to make a decision. So, here's the thing.
Before we do that, I want to touch on that as well because you bring up a great point. I don't want to forget about it. They're flying everybody into Texas once a week. The rankings released on Tuesday. They're going to meet from Monday. I think it's Monday to Tuesday. Midday Monday to midday Tuesday. Okay. Like you said, how many games are they going to watch? Why don't they have it? Because people watch the rankings now instead of Sunday night, which is less than 24 hours for most games, get the BCS rankings. We're waiting, 72 hours, 3 days. Why don't they have them in a room in Texas on Saturday? They can watch whatever games Thursday, Friday. There's only a couple of games they can do.
Provide enough snacks for everybody.
Yeah.
Provide enough snacks for everybody.
Yeah, have them stay all day Saturday. And fine, do the rankings midday Monday or something. Give them maybe 36 hours all day Sunday and part of Monday, or even Sunday night if they can crank it out in that amount
of
time.
Sunday night is when – okay, the one thing – that one of the things that the BCS got right is they released – rankings Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rankings should be released at the latest Sunday night. You've given us people enough time to delve the things over.
Okay.
Yeah, Monday morning. Okay, fine. But it can't be more than a 24-hour turnaround.
And plus, why aren't they together with these games? You know what I mean? If they're really going to, like the NCAA Tournament Committee for Basketball, during championship week, we know every meeting all the times impossible. So many games. They watch all the basketball, their schools, whatnot. During championship week, they're in a room together with every game possible on to watch. Why is this not done every – it's only 6 weeks. Even if you do it only the final 6 weeks, let them use their own devices through the regular season to watch how they want. Maybe meet once mid-season or something, and then the last 6 weeks meet every week. Why aren't they every Saturday watching games together and then debate Sunday? Why do they have to do what they want Saturday, fly them in Monday, and do the rankings Tuesday? That seems –
To answer that, it's because bloggers don't even watch their games together.
I'm just saying, but I
get exactly what you're saying.
It's ridiculous. Okay, continue with step number three.
Okay, so step number two. So remember, step number one, our committee makes their top 25 list in no particular order. The teams must appear at least three times in order to be given further consideration. So we're talking about 15 to 20. You said 22 teams.
I could actually see more than 25 with 13 people, but yeah, move on to number two. Continue.
Okay, but basically we've narrowed down the list slightly. Okay. When it comes time to seed the teams, each committee member will list his or her top 16. So now you're ranking those teams from 1 to 6. The 6 teams with the most votes will be used for the seeding ballot. Okay, this is straightforward, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's actually probably the most straightforward part of the whole process. Okay?
I would agree.
Three. The 6 teams appearing on the seeding ballot will then be ranked by each committee member, with 1 being considered the top team. All the ballots are submitted. The 3 teams receiving the fewest votes will be eliminated from consideration. The 3 remaining teams with the most votes will be seated by the committee on the second ballot process. Now, hold on, answer me this question. How many teams are supposed to be in the playoffs?
There's a semifinal and a final. I believe, if my math is correct, that's 4. There's a pair of semifinal games. And if I'm correct, aren't there 2 teams per game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right. That's
4. If there's only 6 teams, okay, so in step 2, if it says 6 teams left based on the most number of votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you kick out the other 3 teams?
Well, go to step 4 and find out.
Step 4, the committee will then focus on the next 6 best teams.
That's 3, that's 4 through 10. 4 through 10,
yeah.
Folks.
4 through 10. The committee members will rank the 6 best teams left to use in no order.
No order?
No order. So you're not ranking.
How do you rank the 6 best teams left, but there's no order?
I guess place your votes from.
I understand, but the wording is terrible.
It's absolutely horrible. It's confusing. Okay, so ready? So to continue on step 4, the 3 teams with the most votes in this process follow the 3 top-ranked teams as determined in the previous step.
So in other words, 4-6, right? Am I correct on that?
Yeah. Okay, so you've gone 1-3, then 4-6, and then repeat all, and then this is the last step. Repeat previous two steps until all 25 teams have been ranked. Doesn't it just make more sense to rank all your teams 1-25, and the most votes just gives you the top four teams?
Well, yes and no. Here's the thing about this. I've been discussing this all day. My other job, we discussed about this a lot. I read this last night. I'm at the point where maybe I'm crazy, but it makes sense to me at least how they're doing it. It makes sense for the process, not necessarily how they're doing it or the outcome, but the process. I now actually understand the process. It does make some sense, but here's the thing. It's cool. Everybody has their own top 25, or their own 25 teams. Easy, right? Take the top six teams, or the most ballot. Who has the most team? The top six teams, the most votes. That makes sense, right? Is that pretty fair?
Yeah.
That's fairly simple. I just don't get, besides the repeating step 4 and 5 until you get to 25. I just don't get why are you doing 1-3 and then 4-6. Because
Can I go on? Okay, so that was just based off what the general 5 steps. This is actually my favorite part of the process. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my favorite 2 side steps, and this is from the USA Today. At any time in the process, the number of teams to be included in a pool may be increased or decreased with the approval of more than 8 members of the committee.
Wait, say that again?
Then why bother? Why bother kicking out all those teams?
Wait, I must not have heard this before. Say that again?
At any time or at any point in the process, the number of teams to be included in a pool may be increased or decreased with the approval of 8 members of more than 8 members of the committee. So
9 or more.
So 9 or more. There's 13 members, right?
Does that mean could that be interpreted if there's a tie? Because there's no word. Because what if there's a tie? That's the only reason you would consider that to be if there's a tie.
Right. Okay. And then this is my favorite one. All votes will be by secret ballot. This is the kind of thing that you're a committee. Okay, you can vote however you want to vote, but if you're talking dwindling down from 25 teams back down, shouldn't you know what you're voting and why? You're talking about, it says between each.
Plus, if you're arguing for a team, wouldn't that give your vote away?
Yeah.
But
wouldn't your vote give you away, too? I'm sorry. Well, okay. Completely hypothetical that will never, ever happen. But suppose Akron is undefeated halfway through the season. Okay? You don't think some MAC person you don't think somebody who's a mid-major voter would give his vote away by voting for Akron?
There's only one. It's the Air Force guy.
It's the Air Force guy. But let's look at everybody else. Who else would vote for Akron? Even if Akron was undefeated.
Akron, I'm... Nobody?
Nobody. Except for the Air Force guy.
Yeah, it just... This process is too difficult. I really like the point. I like the point where here's our top 25. Here's all our rankings. Let's take whoever is common team, put them in the pool. Because if you're – but like say some one person, whatever, Navy, I'll put them in there at 25. Nobody's Navy. Toss them out. That's a good process. So you can have about 25 – say they come out with 20 to 30 teams that are all agreed upon. That's good. And then they take – here's the thing that doesn't make sense either. Not that this is going to be a playoff show, but I just like this stuff. I like this stuff sometimes more than the game, just kind of reading through everything. But – schools must appear on the list of 3 lists to go further consideration. I'm past that part. When it comes to step 2, it makes sense, but it doesn't. When it comes time to seed teams, each committee member will list his or her top 6 teams. Then why are you doing 25 at the beginning?
Yeah. No, exactly. Right?
I get they're doing 25 because everybody does a 25 and it's a round number. the little school like Fresno or Boise or SMU or Connecticut. Oh, cool. We're 22 in this whatever they're going to call it playoff ranking. We're in the hunt. But I like the first step. Take the common team. The 16 with the most.
No,
here's the thing. The 16 is the most votes. Will never be 16. It'll be probably 10, and that's probably where that second part comes through. It's just too. I'm no joke. I wrote this last night, and this bullet points are from College Football Talk, although so, or from the actual article from the whatever they send out. Here's what we're doing. I read it the first time.
Can I go ahead, man?
It's crap. It's terrible.
Okay.
It's worse than
you listening out there. For any of you listening out there, if you actually know what the hell's going on and can explain it better to us, please let us know.
I just don't get the repeat process. Oh, no. You know what my very, very, very best part is? If you read that, it's linked in the article. If you read the USA Today part, did you see the recusal policy?
Yes.
Did you see the part about student athlete?
Yes.
Here's step C. If a committee member, step C. C or is on the coaching staff or administration at a school or is a football student athlete at a school, the member will be recused. So the only correlation I could have, because it's if you're being paid by the university or if you have an immediate person. So if my uncle works at a school and I'm Ty Willingham, it doesn't matter. That's fine. But if it's my brother, my kid, my wife, whatever, if you're compensated by school. Because step A is – oh, no. I was linking that to union type thing. But step A is the only one that says step A is compensated by a school. So that's not even – I was thinking kind of the union angle if it's student-athlete. But why would there ever be a football student-athlete on this list, on the committee?
There shouldn't be.
So they're going to miss school for this? Student athlete?
Oh, my goodness. Miss Monday morning coffee.
Do you want the computers back yet?
Actually, I do. Because at least the computers, at least we could bitch about them because they're making things too much making sense, but in a totally biased fashion.
Of course. Okay, with this, first off, there's never going to be a Mountain West team involved in this, most likely. And it'll take 3 years of being great. Like, the closest we could have had, like I said, TCU or Boise State, if they would have made that field goal versus Nevada, they would have been in a hunt for the top four. But we'll never see this happening. And then you have Jeff Long, committee chairman, Arkansas 80, wants the most best teams, not most deserving. So we'll see here's a serious example. Utah State plays a decent schedule this year. They Tennessee, Wake Forest, BYU. Fresno will be pretty good. The Mountain West title game. They'll have a handful of good teams. They have the national treasure that is Chucky Keaton, of course. If somehow Utah State shoots up the rankings, they beat everybody by 50 points. They're sitting number 5 or 6. But then let's say you have Texas, who they lose to. I don't know. I know they play BYU early. Say Texas loses to BYU early. Like, that's game 2, but they win the Big 12, but you have 11-1 Texas, 13-0 Utah State. Who are you going to take? They're going to take the best team. Think about it. It's always going to be Texas. Most talent, most resources. They have, theoretically, they are the best team because of talent-wise. Be it they have a loss, but
are
Utah State.
I mean, Charlie Strong said himself earlier this week that Texas is not going to make the national championship.
That was just an example, like a power school versus, I understand they're not going to. That's just my example. Like, whoever, Team X wins the Big 12, they lose Week 2, 11-1 Big 12 title team versus Utah State, who's undefeated, with decent wins over, 2 wins over power conferences and a good win over BYU and Fresno State.
And a good
one
over Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying, right? The part, hey, so that's going to take 3 years to build up. And then here's the thing, too. You know how they cried about, you know the reason they wanted the 14 playoff, right? They don't want to water down the regular season.
Right, of course not.
Well, by saying you want the best team, you're going to have that two-loss SEC team at the 3 or 4 seed over undefeated, non-major, even a one-loss Pac-12 or one-loss Big 12 team Like the LSU team, or whoever in that LSU-Alabama rematch. I think it was Alabama, 11-1, backdoored in. It's the same thing. Then who cares if you lose loss to two? It doesn't matter as much if you're in a power conference. You're going to get in because you are the quote-unquote best team, and then the regular season means less. If that's the case, open it up to more teams. You get my point? Does that make sense?
This talk is depressing me. It's making me want to call it football team again.
Let's move on. Let's discuss something that's not playoff. Oh, you want to hear what's even more depressing? One last thing to make you feel great.
That shared championships were better than this?
Perhaps. Hey, there is an AP title out there still. No, I shoot. No.
Here's a question. Will the AP now count towards the rankings?
Will they what?
Will the AP now count towards the rankings?
They still have their own AP title. No, it does not. It's just a committee and committee only. And they can use whatever tools they wish. But here's the thing that's probably going to make you want to kick your dog or something. Or maybe the dog you don't like. Just saying, kick something you're okay kicking. So this, when they had the meetings, I don't remember, it probably came from Joe Shady, he's been tweeting out all the stuff from ESPN, but the Access, we all know the best team out of the Access Bowls, who we picked by this brilliant brain trust committee here, we'll get to play in the Peach Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Fiesta, whatever bowl there is for the big money bowl game. It's not a semifinal if they're not making it. Those bowls are trying to prevent to have any of those, whatever you want to call it, group of five, being the not have a, I'm trying to word it properly so it makes sense. Every six, they want to have only one, no more than two group of five teams in their bowl game every 6 years. So every 6 years, they don't have more than twice. But they prefer once, as it sounded like to me. If possible, because there are six bowl games, well, why don't we rotate one every year? So theoretically, they're not stuck with that, what they say would be a crappy matchup. Does that make you feel better?
Okay. I'm very confused. So what was that?
The Peach Bowl, Cotton Bowl, all the it's called the Access Bowl, the big money bowl games.
Right. Big money.
Put something in place where they want to limit the amount of times they have to have a non-power school in there from the American, Mountain West, Sun Belt, those type of schools. They want to limit that to where every 6 years
that. That's horribly frustrating.
Because here's the thing. If you're, say, Mountain West, you'd prefer, Fiesta Rose Bowl would be great. Orange Bowl would never want to touch it just because it sucks. And if it's their turn to host that team, wouldn't they rather have, say, Central Florida, maybe somehow Memphis, Tulane, SMU go to Florida than, say, it is the ACC, so it could be Clemson, Utah State. But still, you'd rather have Utah State, Texas in the Fiesta Bowl, or Utah State, Arizona in the Pac-12, or the Rose Bowl. It's just another ridiculousness that they like to thrust down on everybody. All right, let's move on.
Well, at least we would have the opportunity for a big six, like the five teams make the Rose Bowls, right?
All right, let's keep talking NCAA reform stuff. You heard the mentioned about how the Big Five want to do what they want, but still being in FBS.
Yes.
So we all know that. The main sticking point is paying our full cost of scholarship, which is perfectly fine. The one thing we don't know is that can just Utah State or just Boise State or just Houston choose those if their conference does not. Craig Thompson is championing to do that, to allow whatever schools can afford it to do it without being a conference-wide thing. And I think that's a big mistake.
Yeah. I think I feel like across the board, everything should be uniform.
If possible, but here, if they're going to allow, because there's a lot of things they can offer that aren't monetary value, like, hey, let them have their scholarship to come back later to finish school. Not a big deal. That should be done for every athlete, but that's not really a cost. You know what I mean? bring it back in school. If they need three semesters, whatever, it's like, what, 15 grand or so, depending where you're at, not a big deal. But the stuff where if there's actually going to be a payment system, which I don't know, it's not, the main thing that people can probably, some schools can't do is giving them the extra $500 a month for 85 athletes. It should be across the board, but would you, if you're, do you mean across the board, all 125 teams, or conference by conference across the board?
I think it should be conference by conference.
Okay, so
some conferences are more money than others, but across the conference, each team should have the same.
I think so too, because that'll create
a I disagree with Thompson's thing about what schools, Scully, how they want to score.
The reason he wants to do this is because he wants to keep his best teams competitive to maybe get in that playoff. Like, say Boise State can afford it, Fresno, San Diego State, they probably can't, state schools are losing, there's no money in California, but that's the reason he probably wants to allow that, say, hey, Boise State can afford it, they'll still be able to still get decent recruits, Washington, Boise, not that a couple hundred bucks a month is not a big deal, but it will sway some kids who want a few extra bucks just to go eat a decent dinner and not touch still crab legs, but yeah, it makes sense. It's, I don't know, there's, it's still voting, but should we talk about some positive? Do you have any positive stuff you want to talk about? That doesn't sound depressing.
I'm trying to look through your articles right now. Garrett Grayson.
All right.
I really think what's his name? Oh crap! Matt Stevens is just joking. I'm pretty sure it's just a joke.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. But there is Garrett Grayson news who broke his collarbone again moving the couch.
Gotcha.
So, if you believe that, somebody told me on Twitter that, no, he was out drinking at the bar. I'm like, eh, we'll see about that.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, here's some sort of. Actually, I'm lost.
You're lost?
We started talking about the college football playoffs and everything just went downhill.
I know.
It's like
depressing.
It's like reading the depressing part of Game of Thrones for college football fans.
Should we discuss what we should be doing to occupy our time during the offseason?
I think that's a good idea.
Do a little palate cleanser, then we'll get to some other news.
Yeah.
As we know, as you put nicely in the article, college football season's over, basketball season's over, baseball, college baseball, unless you like the sound of a ping.
Finishes up this weekend.
Yes, there is.
Before Mountain West tournament, right?
Yeah, we're actually, soon. We're actually going to be streaming the Mountain West tournament, baseball tournament, like the basketball. So stay tuned for that and good coverage by our man Donald and possibly one of the Matthews we have. Fucking baseball. But as you say, you can build a model. Has anybody sent you any Minecraft items or Lego photos of that?
What? I'm sorry, I missed the question.
You noticed you put a Lego or Minecraft to build a stadium.
Minecraft.
You want that instead?
I did build that myself.
That Boise State one is you?
That Boise State one is me. That is my rendition of Boise Broncos Stadium so far. It's not finished yet.
Oh, not finished yet. And then there's also Arts and Craft, where you got an excellent mug made for you.
Yes.
What will you be doing during the rest of the offseason? Because it's really kind of been going on for me for a while since basketball ended. And I assume for you as well, since you were exhausted at the Mountain West tournament for 3 straight days.
Honestly, I'll probably be, there's going to be some work to do.
Of course.
I'll probably be doing a lot of bit of reading and playing video games.
Reading. I need to catch up on NCAA 14. I got it for Christmas, played a couple times. I'll catch up on a lot of TV shows.
Nobody's allowed to play with Idaho and try and win them a national championship.
No, of course not. Well, they're APR and they're banned for the postseason like UNLV, so no chance this year. So here's the funny thing. People, I read so much about college football and whatever. I actually don't watch, like, NBA. I watch a little bit. Not much. I read more than I watch stuff on TV for some sports stuff. It's like, God, sports, you watch that?
Yeah.
No. I'm not going to sit up and watch a stinking mid-baseball game just because it's on when it's not a team I care about. I'm not that type of guy who watches sports because sports is on. Like, I have a boss at work. He's like, I could come and watch the minor league baseball. Because he gets done at noon. And he's like, I'll turn on some 12 o'clock minor league baseball, like, or spring training baseball. Like, really? No. That does not sound fun to me. Does that sound fun to you? Not going to a game, I mean, on your television.
Oh, no. Watching minor league games on television?
Or just even random baseball games. It's not your team.
Okay, let me tell you. For about 7 years straight, maybe even longer, I watched the Padres games every single night.
You were able to get them? Oh, you weren't in San Diego, so you were able to get them. That's right.
No, actually, while in Riverside, I was not able to get them because we were Dodgers-Angels territory. But in Las Vegas, you get the games every night.
Interesting.
Because the main thing here is Cox Television. And Cox broadcasts all the Padres games out of San Diego.
Oh, there you go.
So, but honestly, probably this year, most of my sporting events, watching sporting events that'll probably happen, I will try and watch every single game of the World Cup.
Oh, yes,
World Cup. Yeah, World Cup starts next month.
That's right.
Yes, we are in May, so it will start next month. I'll probably be watching some MLS.
I will be actually. Here's what I'll be doing. I need to finally finish Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You need to start Justified.
I have not seen the season though, but that show is amazing. It's on my DVR forever. I'll probably watch it like in a weekend. That show, I always hate to say it when a show's on because I'm a real TV nerd. No joke. I watch anything and everything and record it. I don't watch reality crap. I actually watch good TV. But seriously, I think that show, have you seen this season yet?
Which one?
The current Justified, the current one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw the whole season.
I haven't seen it yet. I know it's great. Honestly, I watch a lot of stuff. I watch good stuff. I watch a lot of things. But I seriously think that is possibly, maybe not the best show, but the best written show. Would that sound right?
Yes, easily the best written show.
Timothy Oliphant is amazing.
Nick Jersey, the guy who plays Art Mullen, great character.
Boyd Crowder, possibly my favorite character.
Walton Goggins,
fantastic
character.
That is possibly the best show. The Americans is amazing. I'm kind of watching that now, kind of finishing up the season. I have not seen any episodes of Elementary, which on CBS, the Sherlock Holmes, but I know that's amazing. I actually need to watch Sherlock on PBS. I have a lot of shows, but that, Justified. If you haven't watched it, I think it's on Amazon, watch it. I'm going to watch my HBO Go. I'm going to finish up True Detective, Silicon Valley. Do you have HBO, Chris?
I do.
Do you watch Veep?
Yes. Absolutely hilarious.
If you like comedy in any sense of the word, if you have HBO, even if you don't, find a way to watch Veep, because it's similar style to the Office and Parks and Rec, but much, 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 much more funny. And I love both of those shows.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is pretty much a genius.
Because at this point,
although if we're talking about female, momentarily though, to get totally off topic, because this is the name of our show once again.
That's what we do.
If we're talking about female comedians, and here's a little bit of trivia. What movie came out 10 years ago yesterday?
A comedy, I'm assuming.
It's a comedy.
2004. I would have been in New York still, I believe, or in Houston. I'm not sure. What is it?
Mean Girls.
Oh, that's right. There's been all those going around on if you're a super fan of Mean Girls.
And you say, why is he talking about Mean Girls? No, that movie is absolutely hilarious.
Actually, one more thing we're going to do, because I mentioned at the start of the show, there's a, thanks to Blog Talk Radio, part of the show is audible.com. And we do, and one thing about audiobooks, or if you don't like to read, which you're a nerd if you like to read, but you're not a nerd if you like to listen to stuff. Does that sound about right? We'll go with that. That's a good way to do it. But here's the thing. If you head over to audible.com, actually, if you go to audibletrial.com/mountainwest, you can get a free month, free 30 days, a free audio book. And might I recommend, you saw me on Twitter earlier, everybody knows who Stephen Colbert is, correct? Future host
yes.
of Late Show on CBS. I was going to say he's going to be the Late Show with David Letterman with Stephen Colbert. No, he's just taking over for Letterman. If you get any of his books, I have one of them still. It's I'm an American and So Can You or something along those lines, something about American. He does.
I am America and So Can
yeah,
You.
I'm America and So Are You. Have you listened to that at all?
I have not listened to it. I've read the book.
It is okay. It's hilarious. But did you know he does the whole 3.5 hours? It is him reading the book to you.
That sounds fantastic. It sounds like I need to do that. No.
Yes, his name
my
sign up
my
for
listen,
that.
My listening.
Go ahead.
Oh, I totally get it for that. But my if listening that, of books, honestly, I'm more of kind of like a. I'm more of kind of like a history buff, history nerd. So I read a lot of history books.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing, especially Byzantine Empire and Greek history. So one of the books that I'm playing on, if not reading, at least listening to,
yes.
The book is called Lost to the West, The Forgotten Byzantine Empire That Rescued Western Civilization.
Interesting. Yeah, they have tons of stuff. One thing I did notice, you know, people like the Game of Thrones.
Yes.
You can listen to the Game of Thrones.
Can you?
Yeah, that's one of the options.
Will they have awesome British accents along with it?
I did not listen to the sample, but it's either the accent or it's George R. R. Miro reading you the book. And I know people who want to read the books, then watch the show, or watch the show, then read the books. Whatever your fancy is, you can get your free one of the many Game of Thrones books for free for that first month. So last time we're going to shill for the show, but help us out, audibletrial.com/mountainwest. But the off-season's here. We will find times by listening to books, watching TV, watching World Cup. Let's finish up the show because we know it's not nonsense. Oh, you have one more item here?
I got one more thing, and I didn't put it in. I've recently started doing it again. I used to do it in undergrad all the time, but I've recently started doing it again, and it's a lot of fun. Bar trivia.
Ah, yes. Go do that. Have some fun. Answer that obscure 1990s movie or hip-hop song that you don't know, or that 90s TV
excuse
show.
Excuse me, I swept. Excuse me, my friends and I last night, we swept the 90s movie category. The 90s music category.
What was one of the questions?
Including the bonus question about Chumbawamba.
What was the question?
Oh, they showed you a picture of the band and said, name this band.
I don't know what those guys look like. We all know the song, though, but I don't know that. All right. Yeah, that's always a good option. Also, hey, one last thing. Visit the outdoors. Springtime.
Yes.
Well, parts of the country got some weather, but head outside. I'm heading to my cabin for a week in August, right before the season starts, to get recharged and chill. Do that. But let's finish up here. Let's finish up with some NFL draft stuff here. Do you have any idea where Derek Carr's going to land?
Do I have any idea or do I have a good guess?
Do you have any idea? Or does anybody have an idea?
I don't think anybody has an idea. I think we're all suspecting first round.
What about the quarterbacks? I heard quarterbacks are falling like flies.
They are. Absolutely they are. But you know which quarterback we can all count on?
Johnny Football?
No. A.J. McCarron.
Oh, just say he's a top 16 pick? Did you see that?
I did not see that. Who the hell would put him up there?
He kept saying Scouts saying he's a first round grade, probably taking between 16 and 40.
No. Absolutely not.
I think the most common place for Derek Carr is quarterback's been all over the place. Also, I'm never going to believe a word John Gruden says about a quarterback again. Because every quarterback he talks to is the best quarterback ever. They're all number one. They're all the
now,
best
this guy here, this guy, my co-host on the podcast, I'm going to call this guy Observing Man. Because all he does is make observations about things he sees. Way to go, Observing Man.
You're welcome. I'm just saying that every quarterback he talks to is the best quarterback in that moment of time. No, but seriously, I think he's right up there. I don't know who's going to be. He's in that group of four, even though they say it's a group of three of Menzel, Bortles, and Bridgewater. He's right there. And I think the best spot, which I've seen a lot, is Arizona. They won, what did they win, 11 games last year with whoever their quarterback was. They have Larry Fitzgerald. They won a lot of games but didn't get in the playoffs. They did pretty good. But I've seen a lot of him middle of the first round. I think O'Card will pick at 15 to 18, somewhere in that range. But what do you think? Do you think teams are really driving away from him just because of what his brother did at Houston over a decade ago? Is that even fair to say, oh, you're a Carr, your brother screwed up, we're not going to take you because there's a stigma that's a bad pick? Or is that just a thing if you're in Houston?
I don't think so.
Because I'm a Texans fan, and I'm fine with it, because I know the reason
maybe,
his brother
maybe
David...
Maybe the Texans themselves won't pick up Carr. But I don't think any other team is,
too concerned.
Yeah.
Well, the reason his brother was awful was because the Texans put up a piece of crap offensive line, and he had a sack being sacked the most times ever, like by a rookie, second-year guy, third-year guy, got concussions, and you can't do well if you're on your back and The running joke was he would be the first one to tell you if the stadium was open or closed at Ryan Stadium. So, I can see why Texans wouldn't, because perceptions, like here in Utah, people are freaking out about Jim Boylan coming back to coach the Jazz when he's a total mess at University of Utah. It's kind of similar like that. He's actually a good fit, but public perception is terrible. I just don't want him to go to the Browns, because the Raiders really like him too. Browns or Raiders, even Jacksonville. I'm like, oh, come on. If he goes to Cardinals, that's obviously the best fit, and I think that's where he'll most likely end up. The only concern people have is what we saw in the Las Vegas Bowl with that USC defensive front crushing him.
Yeah. I think Carr was panicked in his last game as a career, and you don't want to see that from your star quarterback who's a 4-year starter.
Sure, and then he has a good line. He had a decent line, too. Austin Wentworth's going to be drafted, so it's like, really? That's Marshall Jensen, a good tight end. So, one other thing, we only got 10 minutes here. We may bring on one of the guys for mocking the draft next week to go more in depth, but I asked you this before a couple weeks ago. I'll ask you again, and my answer is the same. Who do you think is going to, in 5 years out of this draft, who's going to be the best pick out of the Mountain West in this year's draft, in 5 years? Whether it's value pick or just having the best NFL career. Do you need some names to remind you of the players that could be drafted?
No, I'm thinking. I'm going to go ahead and go with the homer pick here.
Which is?
I think DeMarcus Lawrence.
You're homer. Yeah, that's a reasonable.
The only other person who I see really making a huge impact, like, oh my goodness, where did this guy come from? Why didn't we pick him up? Or, he's going to be an all-star every single year.
Mm-hmm.
The only other person I could possibly see, Devontae Adams.
That's my pick for sure. There's also the offensive tackle from Nevada. He's actually been possibly seen as a first-round pick. forget his name, but he's a
Joel Pitano.
Yeah, Joel Pitano, yeah. He's been shooting up, but I think it's Devontae Adams. Especially if the Carolina Panthers take him. Because the Panthers have nothing at wide receiver. They have Cam Newton, and there was a small perception of Devontae Adams dropping some balls, but that was not really the case. There was a Utah State game, but Utah State and Evan Lawson, hello, he's going to be NFL player as well, defensive back, so come on, give him some slack. But if Adams goes to Carolina, he could, at worst, start right away. Could be their number one right away. Him and Cam Newton for the next decade. And look at all them. He's such a freak. He's like, what is Devontae Adams? Is he a smaller type? Would he be like a Steve Smith type player in that size frame? Just under 6 feet? Or is Adams a bit bigger? I forget at the moment. But I'm thinking he could be the best pick overall. Value and just best talent. Yeah, 6'2". So he played basketball. We've seen what he did at Fresno. He just tore it up. I just think he's going to be the best pick. If not, he'd be close. And it looks like we lost Chris for a moment. That's why it just went quiet for a moment. So we'll just wrap it up here because for some reason, excuse me, I don't know, internet connection dropped. I'm still going strong here. So I think if we're going by best players, I mentioned, I am going with Devontae Adams. Maybe, you can see Derek Carr, maybe, but DeMarcus Lawrence is also an amazing pick because he missed a couple games, still led the Mountain West. He's back. All right, Chris, you're back.
Yeah, that was really weird.
I just stopped talking. I was just saying Devontae Adams, I think he's the easy best pick. But Lawrence, like you said, from Boise State, as I was getting to, he missed a couple games, still was even better than Shaquille Barrett with total sacks and tackles for loss for his 2 years.
Yeah, I can see Barrett as a good pick. And actually, if he actually gets drafted, I see Capry Bibbs.
Yeah, Capry Bibbs. And this is pretty deep class of Mountain West because Brett Smith, Wyoming quarterback, I think he could have a – I would actually love if my Dallas Cowboys – okay, I like the Cowboys and Texans. Get over it, folks. But I think Brett – because there's a lot of talk of Johnny Manziel to the Cowboys. I'm like, not really feeling it, especially that high. I'd rather – because they're going to – if you're taking Manziel number one or number two, you're basically giving up on the year with the Tony Romo. It's like you need talent. I would love for the Cowboys to take Brett Smith like in round 4 or 3, which I think he'll go. A couple of years, be the quarterback. I think he could be a star down the road. Robert Heron has
As a Cowboy fan, you wouldn't want Derek Carr?
They're not going to get Derek Carr. That's the thing. Because you're going to
trade up.
No, here's the thing. Right now they have enough talent on offense to be competitive to go to the playoffs. I don't want them to take a quarterback who's going to not play for 3 years to get rid of the last few good years of Tony Romo. So, yeah, we'll take Derek Carr, whoever, Johnny Manziel, with our first pick to move up. Especially if you move up, give up draft picks to get this quarterback who's not going to play because Romo's going to be the QB there for at least 2 more years, maybe 3. I'd rather them build up their defense, get a better offensive line, but still take a quarterback in the 3rd to 5th round who can sit and play for a couple years because they do need a backup, and that's where I'd love to see Brett Smith there. I think Derek Carr would be great throwing the ball in Dallas, but Brett Smith is more fit in the offense to what Dallas, assuming they're going to keep the same offense going forward. I'd rather have him be there in round 3 than take over down the road.
I think Brett Smith should have taken 1 more year at Wyoming.
Well, without Dave Christensen, that's tough to say.
Yes, that's right. I forgot that in Wyoming's practice, they scored a touchdown with the fullback option. So,
yeah.
Never mind.
So, I think Robert Heron, then there's the defensive back for me. Was it, I should know all these names. Was it Marquise Huff? Is that the defensive back? He's been shooting draft board. But it's a deep draft. We'll have good coverage. We'll have I'm trying to get maybe Matthew Fairborn. Yeah, Marquise Huff. Matthew Fairborn or Dan, I think Dan Cater is busy, emailed me already, but we'll get a draft guy this week. Is there anything else? We were going to talk NBA draft a bit, but let's just say this. You UNLV fans, even with your great class, temper the expectations for next year. Slow them down. Losing Roscoe Smith, Ken Burch, transfers. There's so many I can't think of all the names, but cool those expectations. Kemberts. Do you have, okay, any more, and also New Mexico, you lose Alex Kirk, and also if you're, let's give a public service to New Mexico football, please stop what you're doing. Stop it. You know what I'm talking about. Just stop it. Don't be idiots. All right, do you have anything else to add, because we're actually running up against our hour here.
Are we really?
Yes, we spent a lot of time on that playoff talk, and then also talking about random TV, well, not just TV shows and audiobooks.
No. Enjoy the off season. We'll be back here soon.
Enjoy the off season. We will keep everybody accompanied with guest shows. We're going to be more consistent about once a week or so, maybe twice a week if you get lucky, if you ask nicely. Hey, if you I will notice this. If people start purchasing or getting your free trial of audiobooks, hey, we may go more than once a week, right? Is that fair to say?
I would say so, yeah.
Let's do that. So check out audibletrial.com/MountainWest. Hey, Mountain West Connection, MWCConnection.com, @GreekPadre, @MountainWestConnection. Oh, wait, where do you find
Jeremy Moss.
Yeah, Jeremy Moss, yeah. Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, iTunes, all that great stuff. And hey, thanks for listening to our show, and we are, trust me, we're football going forward all the time, including the draft. So everybody have a great night, and hey, make sure you listen to the show, tell your friends, and have a good one.